I'd like to take you tonight on a small excursion into the Old Testament. And if you will you turn to the 10th chapter of Daniel? 10th of Daniel. Oh, that's kind of you. Thank you. The tenth of Daniel. And let's look at that precious scripture for a moment or two. Do you sometimes wonder why it takes a long time to get your prayers answered? And I'm sure some of you have felt that God was rather negligent concerning your specific prayers. At times you've wondered, what happened? Why didn't my prayers get answered quicker? And you all are well aware that the person that isn't loving his spouse is a man whose prayers are hindered. But there's more to it than that even. That's the easy one to see, but there are other things to observe. So let me share with you from the 10th chapter of Daniel, and we'll look at this story. On the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, a belt of the finest gold round his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it. But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response of them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my lord. I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, he said. Beast, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I've come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And then I go, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, the prince, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. Now, one of the things that we have to start thinking about is this, that very often when we pray, our prayers are immediately answered, but they are delayed. They're immediately answered by God who sends his messenger. Now, the word for angel in Greek, angelos, is really a transliteration when we say angel in English. It's not a translation. The correct translation of angelos is messenger, not angel as we have translated it into English. It is literally messenger. But it is a messenger who usually bears good tidings or tidings of divine importance. And so we have transliterated angelos in Greek to angel in English. But it literally means a messenger. And God sends his messenger. But now for us, let me sort of give you a sketch. It's just a thumbnail pencil sketch and with some ink wash thrown in. It's not very colorful, but let me give you this sketch. When the messenger departs from the heavens where God is and the Son of God is, when he departs, he has to come through all the principalities and the powers and the places of darkness and where evil is rife and where Satan has the command and the power, and he has to fight all the way through. Now, when Daniel first prayed, and he was reading, by the way, the background of Daniel's prayer is that he was reading the book of Jeremiah, and he came to a place in Jeremiah that he didn't understand, and so he was asking God, will you reveal to me what this means, what it is that you showed Jeremiah to write? He wrote it, I'm reading it, and I really don't understand it. Can you reveal this to me? And God sent his messenger. But in calculated time by man, the messenger was held up. Now, I don't know this, but I share this with you. There are various grades or ranks. And if you deal with armies, Paul in Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. You're a soldier. So put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and gird your loins about with truth and with the preparation of the gospel. Be well shod with your feet. Make sure they're well strong in the preparation of the gospel. Take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and make sure that you're ready to do battle and put each piece on with prayer so that each day you can face the evil one. For we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And evil in the darkest areas. Now, let's be flippant. And I am very concerned to bring you such a statement as I am bringing to you now. For before, when I have preached about the wickedness of Satan and the wretchedness and the infiltration, I have had to go through many excruciating experiences. One night, the wife of Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse reports this when he was writing his book on the invisible war. He called her in and he said, they are evil forces. And I'm going into a coma. I wanted you to know that. And he went into a coma, and she was very concerned. Another time when he had been preaching various areas of Scripture exposing Satan, he found Billy Graham and his wife, Marge, and he was driving. Marge was in the middle, and Billy Graham was on the far side. And as they were driving, they got into a snowstorm and all sorts of ice, and the car slid. And he was able to rectify it just in time. Satan never leaves us alone when we expose him, when we never speak about him. He's happy as anything. When we squabble amongst ourselves, he's just as happy as anything. Anything to distract us from God. You should always watch the people in the congregation that cause you to look away from the Lord Jesus? Or as the letter said this week, how dare we buy 75 watt bulbs when 40 have been the traditional thing? And who gave the authority? And so on. All that nonsense. When we do those things, we're distracting from the Lord Jesus. We distract from the power of the Spirit. We distract from the things of God. Oh, watch those people that cause it. Watch them carefully. They will spoil your fellowship with Jesus. They will detract you from the things of the Lord. And when they have done that, Satan claps his hands. He really doesn't have to visit us very often. We do it ourselves. If you hear gossip, what do you do with gossip? What do you do? We had these ladies up here in this funny situation, gossiping, each one behind a screen, the other listening in. Beautiful picture. And yet they were talking about the same church. How do you view that? How did you discover that? Did you find yourself identified in there? I had nothing to do with the script at all. I want to be real sure about that. Nothing to do with me. I had browsed through it. I did not write it. That gets some gossip stopped right now, doesn't it? The important thing is, what do you do with gossip? What do you do? Satan doesn't have to do too much with us when we gossip. But he's going to do something, I'm sure, as a result of me sharing this with you. So be careful. You be careful. Pray for me and I'll pray for you. Pray for one another. He hates to be exposed. I'm not a lover of snakes. In fact, I don't like them at all. I met an old gentleman in Oregon. He was about 78 years old, and apart from a few illnesses, he had not missed a day of riding his horse since he was 5 years old, every day. His spurs weighed a pound and a half each. They had great rowels that he could, almost like wheels on the back, great big 3.5-inch rowels. And he was introducing me to a piece of barren area not far from Bend in Oregon. He said, "See that bush?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Underneath that bush is a rattlesnake nest." And I said, "Good, don't let's go near." "Oh," he said, "you want to see the rattlesnakes?" I said, "No, I just like to leave them exactly where they are. It's a cold day, leave them." "No," he said, "you've got to see the rattlesnakes." I followed him, his spurs rolling along the ground behind him. He got to the bush and he had a small piece of wood and he poked around, and suddenly there was rattle, rattle, rattle and hissing and noise, and all of a sudden out came several snakes slithering in all directions. I was in front of them by yards and running. He laughed and he laughed and he laughed. There's an old saying in England, let a sleeping dog lie. Don't disturb him when you deal with Satan. It's rather like that. Let me go back now to this story. It's very, very precious, full of teaching. Let's understand the man that in Mark 5 and verse 9 is called, or the spirits inside the man, when Jesus commanded, "What is your name?" They said, "Legion." What's a legion? Do you know what a legion is? In the time of the reign of Augustus Caesar, a Roman legion was 726 horsemen and 6,100 foot soldiers. That's 6,826 men and 726 horses. All of that in one man. That legion was inside the man. When Jesus said, "Come out and go into the pigs," there was a great panic as the legion went into 2,000 pigs. How do you get 726 horses and 6,826 men all into 2,000 pigs? But we're dealing with spirits. And spirits are bodiless. But they can take on the form of a body. And the only reason this man took on a form in front of Daniel was so that Daniel could comprehend that he wasn't speaking to some nebulous thing. He was actually speaking to a messenger of God. And it was important that he understood that. I share this with you because of the need, of the necessity to understand that our prayers sometimes are hindered. Now, someone has said we should pray for the angel or the messengers that bring the answer to our prayers. And I think that would be valid. Now, look at this hierarchy thing once more. It appears that the man that came, or the person that brought this message from God, the answer to the prayer of Daniel, was sort of a lieutenant. And once he came down, the battle is a strange battle. It doesn't start with missiles and bayonets and swords and axes and things like that. It's a different sort of battle, for a lieutenant cannot oppose, it seems, someone of a higher rank. And you must understand that Satan or Lucifer is a fallen angel, a fallen messenger of God, and he has a rank. And the lieutenant had come so far, and when he had reached that level, he was now faced with someone who was of a higher rank than he was. And so he was forestalled, and the battle was a spiritual warfare. It was against principalities, it was against powers, it was against darkness. And he had to fight that, and if they had not fought, he could have come right through, he indicates on the first day. But it was 21 days before he could get through, and he couldn't get through on his own. Michael came and helped him. Michael is the high-ranking, a high-ranking messenger, angel of God, called an archangel by Jude. And Michael is a special person. God gave him charge over the body of Moses, and he hid the body from Satan. And when he was faced, it appears that they may be of equal rank. We don't know this for sure. This isn't a dogmatic statement, but it would appear that they are of similar rank. For when he was opposed by Satan, he would not bring a railing accusation against Satan, but he had enough power and he had enough authority to say, "The Lord rebuke thee." And Michael came to the aid of this lieutenant. And when Michael came, the message came through in a flash, for he outranked. He outranked the messengers of evil. Now, the importance of all of this is for you and I to start discovering precious truth. And the truth is that there are terrifying things in this area. For instance, who are these principalities and powers? What are they? We have a clue. We don't have a great explanation in this chapter, but we have a clue. The writer says that the prince of Persia withstood him. And then he said, when I go back, after I've delivered this message, I go back to do battle with the prince of Persia and with the prince of Greece. And I wonder if there is a prince of the United States and a prince of England and a prince of India and a prince of Turkey, and a prince of Australia, and a prince of South America. We really don't know, but these mighty, powerful principalities, these mighty, powerful powers, are mighty, powerful in the darkness in which they stand. Isn't it wonderful? Now, listen to this. It's such great news. You can look at verse 21 and discover that this lieutenant had to go back and do this battle. But isn't it wonderful? You do not have to battle to come to Jesus. You do not have to battle to come to God. The Apostle Paul says, with great boldness, we come before the throne of grace. Why? The scripture teaches us oh so clearly that Jesus cried this triumphant note, "All power, authority is given unto me in the heavens and in the earth and under the earth." All power, all authority is mine. Can you see the wonder of it all? Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, has overcome the power of Satan, has shortened the reign of Satan, has restricted the power of Satan, has caused Satan and all the satanic hosts to be caught in a net. He has power that is beyond theirs. And when I pray, I'm heard in heaven right now. There is no way Satan can deafen the ears of God. There is no way that the voice of that is so crippled by a small vocabulary that is called my voice can be shut off from the presence of the Almighty God. Satan cannot do that. There is a new and living way. It is a ray of light, the light that beams into the world. And we speak in that light, and we deal with that light, and we are in that light, and we speak through that light into the very presence of Almighty God. Paul says, with boldness come before the throne of grace. We sometimes sing a funny little song that I enjoy singing here. I can feel the touch of angel wings upon my face. I'm so near in my worship. I'm so near in my fellowship with Jesus. I'm so close to the Lord Jesus. It's almost as if my imagination runs riot and I can feel the brush of angel wings upon my face. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come to the seraphim and the cherubim, when we bow in adoration and worship, when we're at the foot of Golgotha's brow, when we bow in the presence of the throne of grace, we hear that brush of angel wings. Oh, he could have called 10,000 angels. Instead, he died for you and me. Why? So that these powers of darkness would not overcome us, so that this power of evil would not overpower us, so that we would have direct conversation with the living God, so that our faith would be vital and powerful and filled with his presence. Do you love Jesus now? Do you praise Jesus now? Do you worship Jesus now? He has overcome the powers of this world. I tell you, I am one of those persons that can, like Elijah, I can see the dreadness easily. It's hard for me to see the glory quickly. And I have to tell you, there are times when it becomes almost obscured. But I have to also tell you, there is glory in Jesus. There is beauty in the Son. There is wonder in the Savior. There is magnificence and majesty in the Son of the living God who ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. It is the Son of God that gave us his own spirit so that he could interpret the groanings that we make that cannot be uttered in a vocabulary, and takes the impoverished vocabulary of our heart and translates it into a glorious language, a glossolalia that all heaven rejoices in. Can you see now why it is that Satan hates a place where people are saved, hates a person who causes people to be saved? Can you now see how it is that the fury of hell is directed towards those that would get on with the things of God and stop playing church? I sometimes think that the expression of a fellow that I have met who went into a deacon board meeting and there was some particular things that he wanted, especially he was the pastor of this church, a large church, several thousand people I'm told in the congregation, and he went into a deacon board meeting, he felt that there was an impressive and necessary thing that he had to get through that board so that they could expand the ministry of the church. And the usual answers and the usual discussion came up. We can't afford it. We can never do it. We've never done it before. We mustn't do it now. Well, let's think about it. Let's pray about it. Let's come back a month from now and have another discussion about it, and so on and on and on, adding ad nauseum. You've heard it all. And he said he didn't know how to break this stranglehold that the men on his board had. And he said he stood up and sniffed. And they said, "Pastor, what is it?" And they said, "Is something burning?" He said, "I think so." "Can you smell it?" "No." "Can you smell it?" "No." And the replies all around the room were, "No, they couldn't smell it." He said, "You should. Your answers have come directly from hell to invade and stop the armies of God." And they were shocked. They were offended. Quite right, I suppose. He said, "Your whole attitude is antichrist. Your whole demeanor is contrary to the will of God. You're so practical. You've ceased to be spiritual." Now, that's not always so, and I'm not getting at this board. Put that out of your mind now. I'm telling a story. It's true. And they said, "What can we do?" And they fell to their knees and they prayed. And one by one, each man admitted the reason he had blocked what the pastor was suggesting was some personal hidden reason in his heart. And that evening, their deacon board meeting went on, and each man cleansed his soul. And he said it was one of the most cleansing things he'd ever seen in a church. And they went on to do battle with Jesus, the captain of their salvation, following him who loved him, loved them and gave himself for them. They followed Jesus. Isn't that lovely? They did what God had revealed to the pastor they should do. Ladies and gentlemen, do you sometimes wonder why your prayers are delayed, the answers are delayed? Well, the messenger that is bringing the answer has been in a fight. In a fight. When your children, or when you experienced going to Vietnam or Korea or the Second World War, there were wives and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters that prayed for you. I wonder, should we not pray for the messengers that would bring us messages directly from the household of God? It would seem scripturally right. I can't see that it would be offensive. But you must make up your own mind in the quietness of your own heart. The next time you ask God to reveal something precious to you, remember, the cost is higher than you can imagine. Understanding this scripture has made me far more careful in my prayer life. Instead of all the silly gimme, gimme, gimmes, I've started to be far more careful in what I ask for. And the more serious I am with the living God, I've discovered this. Sometimes it's the longer I wait for the answer. And as I look at this scripture, I know why. When your messenger comes through, he is battle-scarred. He is damaged. There is a fight. And the hierarchy of the angel world, the messenger section of heaven, has to be employed to get the lieutenant messenger through to you. Isn't it just wonderful that God does that? I suppose Satan brings all his corporals and sergeants to attack the lieutenants. And that's where the fight is. I suppose it goes on ad infinitum Oh, and how much it goes on. Do you, my dear, dear friend, consider at all what goes on in the heavenlies that you only know a particle of? In the end of this story, the messenger says, and it's not, I'm not sure as I read this, and most, in fact, there isn't a commentator that gives a very definite view here that I have discovered. I'm not quite sure whether he's saying this of himself or of Daniel, but he says, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth me in these things but Michael, your prince. No one else is with me but Michael. It's a precious thing, the mighty power of Michael, called by Jude the archangel. He is on our side. Now, for a minute, just for a moment, have you been defeated this week in some sort of sin? Have you been caught in some sort of trap this week? Have you? Listen, dear Christian, listen. Greater is he that is in your soul than he that is in this world, the prince of the power of darkness, the prince of the air, is Satan. Some refer to him as the prince of Persia. But greater is Jesus in you. Are you so trusting Jesus? Are you so trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, who overcomes our wickedness? How does he do it? First of all, he has forgiven you. Secondly, he loves you and with open arms, like the prodigal running to his father, welcomes you. And thirdly, he keeps you. Dear people, who I've learned to love in the Lord over these past 8 years, dear, dear, dear people, sure you've fallen. And we know you've tripped. You're still in this flesh. But listen, the devil didn't make you do it. You volunteered. Now, greater is Jesus who is in you than Satan who is in this world. Isn't that lovely? He cannot get you. He's defeated. Let's pray again. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this sombering time. We thank you for the generosity of this quiet time. We pray that everyone here may be able to say something to the effect of, Lord Jesus, I trust you. Trust you with my soul. I'm so guilty, lost, and helpless with you. You have made me whole. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. Oh, blessed Father, as we come straight to your throne, realizing that our prayers may be hindered because of our attitudes, hindered because of the time it takes to fight the battle all the way from your answering service down to us. We pray, dear gracious God, grant assistance to your messengers, that we may receive the help we so desperately need in the time in which we need it. Help us now, please, for Jesus' sake. Amen.